Welcome to Moving Into You with Stanwyck. In this podcast, we will address some current and popular issues in major health, heart, and soul. The goal is to create self-motivation and address the skills, such as empowerment, meditation, and others, needed to cope with everyday life. We will have conversations from self-healing emotional souls to disease and disorders such as bipolar, anxiety, and depression. I will invite some specialists to join me in conversation of motivation to tackle situations while building coping skills. After having some technical difficulties, we will pick up part two of Recognize My Identity with Matt, and we will find out why Matt has decided to move up his transitioning and to continue his life journey. Okay, well, again, welcome to Moving Into You with Stanwyck. Let's get started.
Telemed visit with a doctor. Hey, and
let me interrupt just 1 second. I want you to go back just a few seconds there, and we was talking about what was going on. My recording has stopped for some reason. So let's go back just a little bit and start discussing when they found that brain tumor again, if you will.
Okay. So they found the brain tumor, just looking for a TBI, the traumatic brain injury caused from the accident. They just wanted to see the blood, the contusion, the head hit and whatever. And in the middle of that, they found a brain tumor that was completely an incidental finding. So, you know, getting that news while you're sitting here on a telemed visit and you're alone hits you hard like a ton of bricks, right?
Yeah.
And you have a million things going through your mind in that moment, like, is this it for me? Because, you know, I've read and I've seen stories. I've supported and followed someone on Facebook who's is a warrior for brain tumor. You know, she's been struggling for probably now just over 3 years. And now it's happening to me, or at least that's what I'm thinking. And so according to the doctor, it was one of two different tumors. Right. It could be a benign tumor, or it could be a blastoma tumor, which is very aggressive, and they got to get on it right now.
Right.
And basically throwing you into this stage 4 type situation.
That's hard.
Yeah. So imagine getting that news, sitting at your counter just for a simple declaration of, okay, yeah, you have this is why you have post-concussion syndrome, is because you had a little, instead you get this. But what we did find, you know, those words ring over and over.
Right.
It's like, it was like an out of body experience for me at that moment, because I didn't know how I was going to be able to breathe because it came so hard. So I guess my soul just completely disconnected from my body so that I could take down notes and write word for word and keep composure. But when it was over, I even felt like my soul, if you will, was back here watching me do this. And it was one of the most bizarre feelings I've ever had in my life. But I think it was a protective situation for me to disconnect so that I could get the information I needed to write down. And then we can then assess and I could share it with my wife. And that I remember once the conversation was over and I hung up and body and soul came back together in one, I literally lost it. And in those moments were thoughts of, I came in this world in this body. I'm not leaving this world in this body.
Amen.
And
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, I get that completely. We'll talk about that in a moment though. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. On. So in that little bit of time, I broke down. I couldn't even respond to my wife. I couldn't answer her calls. I was just weeping. I was just struggling to breathe, to catch my thought, to understand what was happening in my life at this moment. First it's the kidney, now it's the brain. I'm like, why did you save me from this accident only for me to have to go through this hell? And purpose came up.
Oh, wow.
So purpose was the word that I clung to. Hope and purpose. Purpose was the one I just held tight. There's a purpose.
And purpose.
Yeah. And so it's all in, it's not what's in in the message being delivered, but it's in the message, how, what you're going to take that and how are you going to live that out? You know, whether it's 1 hour or 1 year or 100 years, we don't know. So what we do now in this moment is the moments that count. So
that's right.
Fast track. I got to get out of this body. This ain't mine. I didn't want it. I don't identify with it. And I don't want to leave this world in this because it wasn't fair. If I experience my real body for even a day, if that's all I get it for, at least that one day I would know I would have been the happiest guy in this world, right? I'm going to stop from the world.
Talking about, I have to ask you, because you are and have made this transition, and I know that we spoke and there may be more coming up as far as some other things to complete the transition. What I want to ask you is, you're making this change late in life.
Yeah.
And I know you said about the purpose and everything.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I already said you look young. So don't sweat that. Can you tell us how old you are?
Yeah, so I'm 52. I'm a couple of months shy of being 53.
All right.
Yeah.
That's great. That is absolutely wonderful. You inspire. Just want to let you know that you are an inspiration. I'm glad that we've met.
Thank you.
And that I got to know
so
you, and even more than just interviews. We clicked. We're tight. And so, just want to
my go-to squeeze, my friend. Not squeeze. Oh, maybe I didn't mean to say squeeze. You know what I mean? My go-to guy.
I just for the audience watching this, I'm not going to edit that.
Right, okay. My face is turning red by the minute.
Yeah,
I see the little recording button on top. It's my face is as red as that little red.
So let me tell you, you've been an inspiration to me, and I want to
thank
say
you,
that
buddy.
In part one of recognize my identity with you.
Yeah.
I mentioned in there just a slight phrase about myself. I said I'm a lesbian. I'm butch and I'm not transitioning. And I mentioned that how hard it was for me dressing in masculine clothing to go in different places. But I want to say that you've been such an inspiration to me that it inspired me to fulfill what always should have been done with myself, and that is to also transition. Female,
absolutely.
Male. And I am older than you. Just leave it there. And
slightly, not much.
I got
you're
you.
Slightly.
Not 10 years, but I got you. So, so I decided late in life also to transition, and you helped me come out of that shell. And like you said, I just don't want to leave the world and this body knowing that all along I belong somewhere else. You know, I belong in a male body, and I've known that all my life. It's kind of like a lot of people's story, but each story is different. Each story
it's different and unique different to that person.
Yeah, correct. It is. Exactly. So after.
And I'm just going to say real quick, there's no time later or early in life. I think when we finally say we've had enough of pleasing everyone else around us.
Yeah.
And it's time to live for me and my truth and not protect everyone else, family, friends, wives, whatever, partners.
There you go.
Children even. And we get to say, because I raised my son like this, I can't live your life because I can't die your death. However, I have willingly, maybe unconsciously, let everyone else decide what was best for my life and to conform into what they thought I should be. It's when we take that control and say, you know what? If I can only live my life and I can only die my death, then what in the hell am I afraid of worried about these people for?
That's true.
They don't care if I don't like their dress. They don't care if I don't like it. Why should I care if they like what I'm wearing as in skin?
That's true. As long as you be yourself. And that brings me into, we asked a little about this in part one, Recognize My Identity, just to let everybody know that is a podcast only that you can catch on the platforms that I've already mentioned. And I want to ask you again a little bit about your family and how they felt about that. How does your mom take it and the rest of your family members? Because, you know, they've known you as someone else, you know, all your life. And here it is. You're awesome. You know, you have this awesome dude walking around. So how do you take it?
Well, you know, I mean, it. I think I told you on the first interview we did, my mother and I had this conversation years ago. I think I finally pinpointed it back to 2008. So in 2008, she called me and we had that conversation, and she actually she had this moment of, oh my God, you know, this guilt and this, oh, I feel like it was my fault that you couldn't live your truth. And If I could help you in any way, you know, I would pay for your transition if that's what you want. And it was a great moment. And I told her at the time it was not possible. And there's a whole other story we'll get into about that. It was, you know, I wasn't in the right company. I was married to my ex-wife. And it wasn't, you know, again, timing, right? So there's timing involved with everything.
Everything, yeah.
So it was just not timing, the best timing. So again, that got buried inside and carried around again for all these years. But so now let's fast forward into 2020, last year, when I started transitioning. I had the conversation early in January with my family. I was taking those steps already because the car accident, and I sent them all a message. I think I even screenshotted and sent it to you and shared that with you. And I had a lot of great feedback. My sister actually even drove over the next day, and we had a conversation here at the house because she wanted to do it face to face. She's kind of tiptoeing to it.
Yeah.
But she's in this mode of, I'm not ready to let go of my sister.
Right.
And what she has to realize is that that person never existed. But the brother that she's always had is still here. So now it's just body and mind together, right?
Yeah.
So my brothers were, my older brother was very accepting and, I mean, on board. My baby brother, my younger brother, he was, you know, okay with it and nothing. I did lose, you know, I mean, I feel like a couple of my nephews kind of backed away.
Understand. My side too.
Yeah. My son is great. My son was probably, you know, one of the most important people. And I, you know, those are things you weigh out before you make that step, and you know, you have to know that not everyone is going to understand it, accept it, and be okay with it. But again, all we ask for is the same respect that we give, right?
That is true. A little bit from my standpoint on the family. Yeah, my sister had a hard time going through it, and I still get she a lot and also somewhat misgendered. I'm wearing my mask, but you know, I'm growing just a little bit of hair.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. It might not be, It might not be noticeable. I have this big mic in front of me, but.
Yeah, I see that mic. I thought, oh, is that your chin hair?
That's the
hair. Good fit. You got more than me.
So I had like some kickback, you know, on my side, but you know, I spoke with my aunt the other day, who's in her 80s, early 80s,
wow,
right? And I was telling her for the first time, I really thought I told her last year that I started testosterone back in July, right? But I hadn't. And she asked me why I did not, you know, like in my teens and things like that. I said, you know, I didn't know personally.
Right.
Very naive. And
what resources did you have?
Right. None.
Think about it.
None.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, I knew no one who was transitioning from female to male or male to female.
I
knew absolutely no one. And so I decided, like I said, when you get to a certain point, I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it now. Even my wife had some problems with it at first. And I was like, you know, let's try to work this out in the best way as possible. And she is fantastic. She recognized that I had to do something for me. And and she has her journey with this also, and changing, you know, how she identifies as herself and to keep her identity too.
Right.
I get
the big C word comes up when you're in a marriage, and that's compromise, right? So
I hope that's
with love comes compromise. All right. All right. Yes. So that compromise is what I'm talking about.
Everybody knows that is compromise.
And that's a sacrifice too for, you know, I mean, especially like your wife and my wife, they both identified comfortably as lesbian, right? So a lot of people have that confused and get it twisted. Love is love. I mean, we're all preaching it all over the place in the whole LGBTQ straight, IA, blah, blah, plus. But you can't talk the talk if you're not willing to walk the walk. Love is love. It doesn't identify male, female. It's a feeling. It's an emotion.
That's true.
And so talk about putting yourself in a box is when you say, oh, I just want to identify as this. Well, on the whole scheme of things, love is love.
That is so true. That's just like dealing with basically race. How way back when one race couldn't date another race.
Sure.
And love is love, no matter
love
what.
Is love is love. Doesn't have a color, doesn't have a gender, doesn't have, you know, it, the purpose of love is it's a human emotion. It's what people feel. And, you know, I mean, and when you say that I'm only this, then you're not opening yourself up for that love is love. So I don't know. I think what Deborah had described herself as just most sexual. she says she's most sexual and as is. I think that's for us, and especially today, a message that she sent to me today, as is. And how else can you describe such a love so free that allows you to be you as is, love you with everything they have?
I have to remember that. Tell Deborah I have to remember that. And also too, want to say to everyone that Deborah and Dr. Shireen Allen Lawson was on the podcast that was done, that was published back in March of last year. So you'll get to hear the whole thing if you go back and listen to that. And Matt, I want to let you know that we have some international listeners.
Nice.
Yeah. It was awesome to see that. And that was for your show and another one that was done.
Awesome.
So
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, where are these people come from? And so, so I don't care where they came from as long as they're there.
They're there. That's right.
So something just happened recently. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. In early November, October. So October, mid-October, I called and spoke with a therapist about top surgery. And that, you know, she's an amazing doctor. She came highly recommended.
Yeah.
And I gave her a call and we set up a telemed visit, and we spent an hour on the phone with each other, and she wrote me a letter and gave me a couple of different plastic surgeon doctors who perform top surgery here locally in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area.
Yeah.
And told me if I, you know, to make these appointments as soon as possible because it's hard to get in there. So I did that day. I made an appointment. I had an appointment set up for November to go in and see a plastic surgeon, Dr. Stephen Turkletob, to have a consult with him. I believe it was a 2 or 3 week appointment. The appointment was like 2 to 3 weeks away. It was pretty quick considering I had been told some of these appointments were delayed by months, you know.
since COVID. Yeah, it was hard to get in to get anything done.
Sure. So I was like surprised, like, wow, I'm getting in so quickly. I was excited. So I took the appointment. Oh, as a matter of fact, no, they didn't. It was supposed to be 2 or 3 weeks, but she said it was a Friday. And she says she put me on hold for a minute. And she came back and she says, I have an appointment for Monday morning, which was like a few days later, right? It's Friday, it's Monday. And I was like, oh, yes, I'll take it. And remember, Stan, I called you.
Yeah.
And I was over the top excited. So I went into that appointment. I went to see Dr. Turkletaub. We had our, our visit, and he did the measuring. He did, took the pictures. He had the conversation, asked me the questions. You know, it's a very personal, but kind of uncomfortable, if you will, because, you know, the dysphoria is heightened anytime you have to unveil, right?
Yeah.
So, and now I have a nurse in there with us, and she's having to take pictures, and I'm just like, right? Because I am like just dying in myself, dying in my mind here. But I had to take you sometimes have to take yourself away and know that this is for a better purpose. And so that happened, and they said, okay, well, we're gonna get with your insurance, and once we have to wait for the two letters to come from your two therapists, your therapist and then your PCP.
Oh, wow.
Which Shireen Allen Lawson is my PCP, and Dr. Bachman is my my therapist. So they were both on board. They sent the letters in. I think it was right at that time. It was right around Thanksgiving, because I had to wait through the Thanksgiving. And then all of a sudden, a week had gone by. I didn't hear anything. I called. They said, well, we're just waiting approval from your insurance.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like another week had gone by. I called right toward the middle of the following week, and they said, you are scheduled. We have you. Everything's been approved. Insurance is good. All your out-of-pocket's been met. All your deductibles have been met. So we want to get you in as quickly as possible, and as soon as we can is December 31st.
Wow.
New Year's
wow.
Eve. We know it's
a week ago.
Right. They said, we know it's a weird day, but it was like I had less than 3 weeks to get ready for this.
Right.
Less than 3 weeks. And it was like, oh my God, this is really going to happen. Because we were thinking like we were thinking June or July of next year with all the delays and backup. Well, December 31st came and I had my surgery. And today I went for post-op because the 31st was Thursday. And because the 1st was New Year's, it was Friday, they didn't do post-op. So they delayed it till today. So all week I was bandaged, all that whole time I was bandaged up with felt like a cast.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to see it since I went in and he marked me and did all that. I have not seen it at all since he did the surgery until today.
Wow.
So today was huge.
Do you have staples? Did they take staples out? Or?
No staples. It's a very nice, fine incisions he has.
God.
Right. He left the tape on, and then they have the two bulbs. I honestly don't know what else to call it.
It looks like mine when
little lemon wedges.
Well, I had cancer, so I had mine removed because of that. Yeah, they look like tubes with little grenades on the end of them. That's what it
right.
Me have. It's like, oh, blowing.
Well, I do have the tubes on each side, so I have a tube on this side, a tube on this side, and it drops down, and we empty it as often as it needs to be emptied. I'm not losing a lot of fluid. I had really not much swelling, a lot of bruising though. But I'm gonna tell you, I did take a short video clip. And I might share it with you, Stan. It's private and personal. It's one of those things that I will, maybe later when I'm doing podcasts and I dive right into it hard, I'll probably share that. But right now it's, so I could have something after to follow after that,
Right.
So that shock value isn't there. But I tell you, when she cut away the layers of, and I'm talking, she had layers of covering on me.
Wow.
He really covered me good. Like I said, it felt like a cast, and it was like puffed out to here. It was like, wow, I was big up there. And when she cut those and opened it was amazing. It was amazing.
So
to see my chest for the first time, bruised, black and blue, I don't care.
How did it feel though? Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's dysphoria and then there's euphoria, right?
Right.
And I am just, it's like my soul took its first breath of air.
Wow.
And I was in the mask when she was cutting away at it. And I said, I am so excited. I am going to cry. I'm going to tear up. My heart is overflowing with happiness and tears and of joy.
Right.
A feeling like I, a million times what I could have ever expected.
How awesome. How awesome. I'm glad you have that feeling and things are working out for you. You know, that progression that you're making. I have audition running right now, and that's going to be a little bit edited for anybody who's watching. It will be edited with some of these things taken out, but the main content will still be there for the audio podcast moving into You with Stanwyck. So just want to say that you've gone through a lot. You've gone through a lot of changes. Look at that smile, man. Look at that smile. You can't get
back.
You're turning red again, but you can't get past it. I mean, yeah, you look good. Also, I posted some stuff on Facebook. Can you tell us your about Facebook page?
So I have a Facebook group. It's called the Mofo Tribe, and it's an all-inclusive group. We have straight, gay, bi, tri, you know, trans. All of us are in that group. The group is almost 4 years since I created it. We have 777 members, 13 countries following us.
Well, I hope you're after this, so go ahead.
Yeah, we are, the group is all about connecting people. It's connecting people, building better relationships, and building a better community. What I do is I try to keep people in the know and educate, right? And I've used, and it provides a forum for me to be able to take what I am doing and share it with the viewers who have not heard or not been involved or not had anyone close to them transition. So we're teaching, we're educating,
right.
We're raising awareness, and we're building a support network that is above and beyond anything I could have ever thought that would happen 4 years ago.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I said that's fantastic. And I'm glad that you're doing that because like you said, that education, people won't have that same problem I had when I was younger because they're able to go to what you're doing in the Mofo Tribe on Facebook and see and read some of these comments that are being made. And it's awesome, man.
And watch the videos. And you could see the videos. If you follow Mofo Group, you could see me from before my voice started changing, before my hair on my face came, before my facial features, when I was softer and I was more, you know, I leaned toward more the female, even though I was butch and strong, but had that, you know, not so deep voice.
Yeah.
Right. I had a chest, although I covered it, it was still visibly there. There were some times I couldn't cover it, like when I wanted to get in the pool, right? So, you know, and you guys have been with me on the journey. So it's all about taking somebody through a journey day by day, step by step. I'm not doing videos every single day and sometimes not even every month. But when I get the opportunity to take that pause and say, let me share this with something happened here and I want to share this with the group because it's important and maybe I just need to lift up. Maybe I need them to let me know that I'm still where I need to be and because it's all about purpose. So the purpose is, am I where I need to be here? You know, am I doing my part to give back what you guys give me?
Okay, talking about that purpose, I'm going to interject for a second. Tell me, we talked about your job last time, you know? So tell me that you shared something with me, but will you be willing to share a little bit about the progress? That was amazing.
Yes.
All right. Tell us about the job and the name of the company and the progress.
Yeah. So I still work for FedEx Freight. And we have within our organization, we have an organization called Pride Plus BRT. It's Business Resource Team. And this Business Resource resource team, actually, they advocate for, could be vets, people with disabilities, you know, workers, employees with disabilities, our LGBTQ community within our organization. So since I've been returned to work in the end of August from the accident, I have become a member of the Pride Plus BRT. The second, there's two leaders of that run and control this organization. One is on the Canada side and the other one's here. His name is Herschel Joseph. Okay. And him and I had a wonderful conversation. I am one of the first trans to ever step out and openly talk about it. Wow. And bring it to the attention of our, you know, company.
That's big.
Right. So then I told him I would love to join that Pride Plus BRT. And he sent me, before the week was over, I think I received a letter in the mail, a package with my package for Pride Plus BRT and a welcome package saying welcome to the business resource team. And so with this, it does a lot for us and our community, especially, you know, here, they help organize Pride events. And I mean, it's huge. It's a huge thing. We have like 4 years, maybe now five, in the National Chamber of Commerce for LGBTQ.
Oh, yeah.
So they recognize FedEx Freight as leaders in the industry for inclusion and diversity within their organization. So we are the first time ever FedEx has ever put another color on their flag was the rainbow colors. And it's all flying right in Atlanta at one of our mother hubs. And the other one flies in Canada. So it's huge. FedEx is very diverse and inclusive, and they believe in celebrating and helping us to help educate others.
Yeah.
And it's been a feat for sure. They have been like on my side. They have been fast forwarding everything, bathroom signs, you name it.
That's fantastic. I am going to have to start wrapping up here, but we talk anyway, and I'm sure we're going to get like a part three somewhere along the line.
We will.
Because, yeah, this journey keeps going on, and you're going to get your podcast started up real soon. And
absolutely.
Forward to being on air. I'm going to be like, oh, yeah.
No. I get to interview you next, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got a lot to share also.
But, and go for your journey and see where you're at. And
yeah, but right now, this is all about you. That's what I tell you. It's all about
you.
So, Matt, we're going to wrap this up. And I want to thank you so much for coming on once again to Moving Into You with Stanwyck. And I want to thank our YouTube viewers for Moving Into You with Stanwyck. This is where you can find it on this page. And right now, I am in a production studio of Because I Love to Dance Entertainment LLC. Thank you for just being here with me. It's been awesome again to talk with you. And I want
to. It was an honor. Thank you for having me.
No problem. This is what it's all about, right? Do you have anything else you want to offer or say before we go away our different ways?
Jagger just interjected there. No, I'm fine. I thank you, my friend. I'm encouraging you, and I encourage others this journey. If it's something that you feel inside you, there's no right or wrong time. Now is the time.
That's it.
And I'm always going to be here for you, with you, and walking with you in this journey.
You're there.
And I appreciate you.
No problem. You know, same thing. And you're here for everybody. So I want to just point that out. Go to that Facebook group. You'll learn more about Matt there, because he walks around with his phone like this, and he does he does a lot of personalized interviews that are right videos on his page. So go visit that page. Also learn a little bit more about Matt, and come here, learn more about what's happening with Moving Into You with Stanwyck on YouTube and on our podcast. Like I said, it's on different platforms, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Simplecast.com, which happens to be my host. Just come join us anywhere. Again, we will be talking with Matt in the future, whether it's on this podcast, we will be talking again. Matt, keep moving in your journey. And thank you for coming on Moving Into You with Stanwyck. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, my friend. Okay. You as well.